Welcome to the Real Talk of Dental, where we pull back the bib and talk about what's really going on beneath the surface. Not just the charts, not just the systems. We're talking about the culture, the chaos, and the confessions. I'm Brandy Marzolino, and with 20 years deep in this industry, I am fresh out of patience for performative leadership. This is your space to laugh, cry, question everything, and maybe shout into a pillow between patients. We've got anonymous confessions, we've got call-ins, we've got ops room drama, and we've got the truth, served hot and a little too real. Think of this as your backstage pass to the break room no one dares to mic. Until now. Hey, before we get started, I want to tell you about something that's changing the game for women in dental leadership. It's called the Empowered Leadership Experience for Women in Dental. It's a six-month transformational journey for women who are done with burnout, overfunctioning, and trying to lead like someone they're not. This isn't just another leadership training. It's a coming home to your voice, your power, and your joy. If you've ever felt alone at the top or stuck somewhere in the middle, this one's for you. Enrollment is now open. Head to leadhership-experience.com to enroll. Because real leadership isn't about performing. It's about remembering who you are. Now, let's get into today's episode. Linda Kane has been in the dental industry since 1999. She is a self-described money whisperer. She is an RCM pro, and now she is a billing master, an author, a podcast host, a speaker, and a mental health advocate after losing one of the doctors she worked with to suicide. She is on a mission to save dentists' lives, and she's doing incredible and extraordinary work. And she's also seen throughout the duration of her career, behind the scenes, the stress that broken systems, financial issues, front office chaos, and just the emotional and mental load a lot of practices carry when they have issues within the office. And she's an absolute delight. She's quickly becoming one of my most favorite people in the industry. And in this episode, we talk about her story, the aftermath, what she's up to now, and also the why behind why so many doctors are struggling from a mental health perspective, what we can do about it. And just really, again, what I am so committed to is normalizing these types of conversations, letting people that they are not alone and that help is out there. And help is honestly required, I think, in any area of life, whether it's through a mentor, a coach, a guide, colleagues, support groups, wherever you go, it's so important to get the support that you need. And so many people need it and are doing it. And anyone that's out there, really encourage you to raise your hand and just ask, even if it's with a trusted colleague or getting a therapist if it's needed. So we dive into that on this episode. Linda's incredibly funny and she's just a doll. So in addition to some of the heaviness in some of these topics, she also brings a lot of laughs. And I really think you're going to get a lot out of this episode. Linda, welcome to the Real Talk of Dental. I'm so grateful for this conversation we're going to have today. I met you, gosh, just this last November at the Dental Entrepreneurial Women's Summit as part of DO. And you stood up in front of the room and shared a really powerful story. And as soon as you shared, I was like, I need to connect with her and talk with her, because I knew right away, one, you're my kind of people, and two, you really care about the things that I deeply care about as well. And you're on a mission, as am I. And I know that together we can do a lot of really great work. And you have such a beautiful perspective, and the work that you're doing is really, really incredible. So I can't wait to share more about what you do with other folks as well. But yeah, I just, to start off, just go ahead and share your story.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me here with you. This has been something that has absolutely changed my life. You know, I spent 25 years. I had been in dentistry at the time that this happened. And, you know, I was really doing a favor to this doctor. I had spent a lot of years working in dentistry, and this doctor came to me as a result of mutual friendships, you know, just networking kind of thing. And begged me. He said, Linda, come out and sit in my office with me and talk with me. Just help me start this brand new startup practice. He'd already done a big startup practice in Boise, and he was going to a smaller, more rural town, and he wanted to start up another one. He just had an itch for it. He wanted to do it. And I loved him from the moment I met him, you know, and I'd heard great things about him from the other people that connected us. And basically, what happened was we started that brand new practice, and it was hard. You know, we put an associate doctor in there because this doctor was kind of retired. He didn't really want to practice dentistry anymore, but he loved the business of dentistry. And we had this associate doctor in there, and that doctor was rough, man. It was rough. He was very full of himself, and he really thought he was the cat's meow, you know, and he offended a lot of people. And it was just a real problem in this small community. Everybody talks. Everybody's at the soccer field together, you know, like everybody talks. And it was getting kind of tough in this practice because I just couldn't rein in this doctor. I was trying really hard. Basically, the long and short of it is he had asked me, hey, I know you're a consultant. I know you own your own billing company, but will you please come in? It's a startup. It's going to be open 2 days a week right at first, then eventually 3 days a week. And I thought, well, I can fit that in, right? So then I got stuck with this doctor, and it was a little bit hard because he just was very young, and there was no bones about it. He was a very good dentist. His clinical skills were very, very good, but he just was not a great human, you know, and it was tough. And so long and short is this owner doctor came in and he said, Linda, I think I'm going to just, I've got my license still. My license is still active. I'm going to come in and I'm going to work the office. And he had such a booming personality. He was a big person. He helped everyone. He literally took meals to people. He'd empty his fridge into a laundry basket and take food to people. He was just one of those kind of people. And so the practice had been open about a year and a half, you know, a brand new startup in a small community. That's hard to do. And anyway, this one particular Thursday, he said to me, you know, Linda, I don't think I can go to church alone. And he cried. And I said, well, I'm the poster child for going to church alone, right? Like, I've done that for a long time. You can do it. You can come to church with me. I'll go to church with you. And that was my first sign that something was maybe not okay. First sign. He was always so happy and positive. It was the next Sunday. I got a call from his daughter that Dad wouldn't be coming to the office tomorrow. And I said, well, what's going on? You know, because I knew he was worried about things on Thursday. And yeah, she just said, well, I can't really talk about more than that. Okay, all right, well, I'll just go in on Monday and I'll try to move things around, you know. Will he be here Tuesday? And she goes, well, I don't really know. We'll see. I said, okay, all right. But I thought that was weird, you know. Well, then Monday morning, one of the doctor's very, very good friends called the office and said, Linda, are you sitting down? And I said, well, no, do I need to be? And he said, yeah. And he said, Chad took his life last night. I said, what? Oof. And I just lost it. I just cried. And it was, gosh, that was very, very hard to hear because he was just such a cool, good, good man. He ran marathons. He did so many things, but I knew he'd been fighting with depression for years, you know, years. He had written books on it. Anyway, what happened after that was what I think is the most touching and beautiful thing ever. This particular doctor who gave me the news, about an hour later, he called me and said, hey, I moved my schedule around. I'm going to bring a couple of my assistants and we're going to come in and see your patients. And that's what happened for 3 months. For 3 months, another doctor would call me and say, hey, Linda, I'm at this practice, but Chad was a really good friend of mine. I can come in on this day and bring my team and see your patients. So what that meant for me was my cell phone was blowing up with two types of calls, one helpers and one people who wanted to maybe talk to me to buy. And so I had two different notebooks and I was color coding things. You know, I was trying to keep it all square because I was always also talking to patients and trying to get them moved to when this new friend was going to come in. So it was constant telling the story over and over again, right? Hey, patient, unfortunately, our doctor has passed away. And they were like, what? And then they want to know what's going on. And I'm like, well, I can't tell you too much right now, but I'll talk to you when you come in, you know, but his friend, this doctor so-and-so is going to come in and see you. Can you come this day at this time? And that's what I did with every patient on the schedule. I had to move them all around. So keep in mind, when he passed, my entire team quit. So I had nothing. I had no hygienist. Well, no, I had the hygienist for a couple of months. She stayed until the new doctor came in. I did have the hygienist. I didn't have assistants, though. I didn't have anyone else on the team. So they always would have to come and bring their own assistant with them and their own supplies because I had no one to really order supplies. I didn't know how to order supplies. So it was a little different. But the beautiful part that happened through all of that was the miracle of this valley and all the people that came in to provide the service for us. I'll never forget one experience. And it was one of the doctors who wanted to buy. And it actually was, I'm going to say his name because I love this man so much. His name was Kim Keller. And he's a dentist. At that time, he was the ISDA president. And he came in to meet with me with one of his partners in his group practice. He owns several practices. And he came in to look at to see if this was one that would be good to add to his fleet, you know. And he sat with me and I just did what I did, right? I showed him all the numbers. I showed him all the information. I knew that practice like the back of my hand. And I showed him all the numbers and I just was tough. You know, I didn't cry. I was like there. I was just doing it, you know. And he looked at me and he said, "Can I touch your knee?" And he reached out and just touched my knee. And he said, "Baby girl, this is not your responsibility." And I looked at him square in the eyes and said, "Well, today it is. There's no one else that can do it." And he just looked at me and he got up and gave me this big hug and we just cried because he knew the doctor really well too, you know. Anyway, long and short of the story is we did that for 3 months and eventually we sold the practice. And this is probably one of the biggest lessons. The doctor who bought the practice took zero time to ask me, "Are you okay? How are you holding up?" He took zero time to say, "What systems do you have in place in the office?" Because I'm a trainer and consultant. I teach systems. I grow practices, right? It was really offensive to me to have him say, "Well, I want you to cancel that and start this, and I want you to cancel that and start this." He just started issuing orders to change everything. And then I told him my vision, that I had a person that I really wanted to hire. I had been training her. She knows the practice. She's one of the patients. She can come on and take this practice and run with it. No, I'm going to hire someone else. And I said, okay. So I went down to talk to him in his other office. I said, "Well, you know, since you're going to hire someone else and you clearly have this all under control, I'm going to go ahead and bow out here in a couple of weeks. I'll give you a couple of weeks and wait till this new person comes in." He said, "Linda, you're the reason I bought the practice." And I looked at him as lovingly as I could and said, "Well, that's your first mistake. You never bothered to get to know me or ask me how I was. I'm not a fixed asset of this practice. So here's your key. Here's your credit card. I'll see you later." And I left because I thought there was zero intention to get to know me or what was happening in the practice, what we'd even gone through, how we'd even kept it alive for the last 3 months, what the patient base was like. Are patients staying or are they leaving? You know? So it taught me so many things and made me realize that I'm on a mission now, Brandy. I'm on a mission and it's really a movement. I am going to do everything in my power to save doctors' lives, number one. I don't want children to not have their father. I don't want spouses to not have their spouse. I don't want teams to go through what I went through because very few offices have a manager that's going to sit there and do it all for them. It's all going to just fall apart. But I just couldn't let that happen. But no, I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission and a movement. Yeah. So I wrote Dental Office Rescue. And it's a book that I have that's all the systems that you need to have in place in a dental office. And I have a podcast that I can't wait to have you on that's called Dental Office Rescue that talks about those kinds of things too.
Yeah. And before we started our conversation today, I was sharing with you that I was on the call with a client of mine this morning and an associate that he used to work with over the holidays, you know, ended his life as well. And there weren't too many, you know, indicators that it was going to happen. There usually never is, as much as people kind of think there will be. But it was just another sobering reminder, you know, that it is an epidemic. You know, people out there are struggling and they need to know that there's help and that anxiety is so prevalent in the dental industry and a lot of that fear and feeling like you're trapped and you can't get out of something. And just to talk more about it and have these these open conversations because there are people out there that are thinking about it all the time. And just to know that they're not alone and to destigmatize, I guess, even some of the thoughts and some of the mental health crisis, because I know even in dentistry still, it can be a little taboo to talk about getting therapy or having mental health issues, because what will people think? And a lot of people are closeted about these issues because of the stigma of getting mental help or being on medication and thinking, oh my gosh, what patient is going to want to see a doctor that deals with depression? You know, I better look like I have it together. And then it's just this endless cycle of feeling trapped and all alone and isolated. And so I'm so grateful that you're doing the work that you do and that you also have the courage to share your story and talk about that experience. And so I think too, like I know you and I have chatted offline about this quite a bit, but for you to share with those that are listening, because you had shared with me, there weren't too many indicators or you felt very blindsided when you found out the news, I suppose.
Oh yeah. You know, the thing was, is that he was just he was just such a cool guy. And he ran like Ironmans. He took my son shooting with him on the weekends with his boys. He built my son an AR-15 gun. Built it from the scratch, and they took it up into the mountains and they would shoot things, you know, shoot pop cans and all kinds of things up in the mountains. And they just, I don't know, he was just such a cool guy. He really was. But he was open about it. You know, he did have depression and he had written books about it. He focused his life on giving to combat it, you know, like he was open about it. He was open that he did struggle with that. He wasn't closeted about it, but I felt like he was doing really well. He was in a good spot. He was happy. He was energized. He was doing great. But I think there were other things that were happening in this particular situation that weren't in the office's control. And I don't want to dive into that, but I think that there were other things going on that weren't us necessarily. But I do think as I've been on this mission, I feel like what I'm meeting is people, more so what I'm meeting in offices is situations where they don't have real leadership. They don't have systems in place. They don't have an educated staff. They don't have the things that they need in their office for their office to run smooth. So the way that I describe that is these doctors are wearing these bruises, and these bruises keep them awake at night and make them start to have these kinds of feelings that they're on an island alone and nobody understands what they're going through. Because realistically, you're in your rural town that you live in and you're running your practice, and it does feel like you're on your ship all alone. And that's, I guess, my whole mission is to say, you're not all alone. There's tons of other doctors all around you that are feeling the same way that you're feeling. Let's just get some of these internal things taken care of, right? They're going to sleep so much better at night if they know that they're not losing money, if they know that their patients aren't walking out the back door. You know what I mean? If they know that their patients are paying their bill, that their team's being honest and they're not stealing from them. You know what I mean? Like, there's lots and lots of things that we can do in the here and the now to make the quality of their life better so that they don't get to the point that they think about these things. If they can go to work and they're happy when they go to work and they can not take crap home to their family at night, then probably they're not going to be as much in this spot. So that's my whole thing, is about teaching them how to do things right and teaching them how to have the right things in their offices. Because if we can do that, maybe we can prevent some of this. But it is important to talk about it and talk about how real it is.
Yeah. And like from your perspective, I mean, I think that's so insightful too. And honestly, the last several conversations I feel as if I've had on this podcast have been talking so much about systems and how important it is to have those in your practice, because it leads to so much burnout, stress, not just for obviously the doctors and owners, but also the team. And then there's a lot of tension and people don't take the time to, well, one, I don't think they're aware that their systems are either broken or inefficient or non-existent, and then taking the time to really build them out, because I think we inherit so many outdated systems and sometimes the change just feels so overwhelming that people would prefer to just stay in the, you know, the devil you know versus the devil you don't know kind of thing, where it's just people would prefer to stay in a broken system because they're familiar with it than go through the change. So many people struggle with change. And I think that's why like teams and docs and whomever, having people like you or I in their life or the many other support folks that are out there to help hold your hand while you're going through the change, because it's not uncommon to be uncomfortable during change. Also recognizing that I think in dentistry, and I'd like to hear your take on this, like how did we get here? But I also feel like in dentistry, there's this a lot of time leaders think they have to know everything, and that if they struggle in running the business, that somehow they're just like this ultimate failure. And maybe they have debt, or their team doesn't like them, or they're struggling with whatever, or angry patients, or complicated cases that they just can't figure out. And they feel like they're an imposter and they're not a good doctor. And I mean, the list goes on and on. And there's this idea that if we're really successful at a couple things, that we should be masters of everything. And we really only have like a few really unique gifts and things that we really, I mean, there's the zone of genius, right? The zone of excellence, like Gay Hendrix's work. And, you know, a lot of us think that we need to be in our zone of genius or zone of excellence, like with literally everything, but that's just not how we're designed. There's so much that I am really not good at all. So, you know, but I'm really good at a handful of things, right? And that's what I try to express, you know, in my day to day is focusing on that and recognizing, oh, I need to hire this stuff out. You know, it's the idea of delegate, automate, or delete, you know, to just get rid of. So what can you remove? What can you delegate? And what can you automate? And taking the load off your shoulders. But so many doctors think that they are superhuman and superheroes and can do it all and don't recognize that it's quietly eating away at their soul, really. So that's just kind of been my experience, you know, more recently too, in recognizing some of this, but you've been at this for a very long time as well and been in the weeds and the trenches with many offices. Like, what's your take? Like, how did the industry get here? Like, how did people get so overwhelmed, and what's causing the internal chaos, you think?
Yeah. Well, I think it starts at the very beginning. I think in our education system for our doctors, there is really no education about running your business.
1,000%. Yeah.
There's all kinds of education how to do the dentistry, but there's nothing to manage your practice. And so I think if we're not going to make it a part of our curriculum, and I understand why. I understand how it gets there, because the landscape of dentistry has changed so much in the last 25, 28 years. It never used to be that a general dentist placed an implant or a bone graft or a sinus lift. That was always referred to an oral surgeon. Now our dentists that are graduating today are doing all of those things and doing them efficient, where some of our more senior doctors aren't even doing those services. They're referring them out, right? I understand the problem, you know, the education system has so much to teach in a given amount of time that they omit that thing because there's so much dentistry to teach. So I understand how it happens. So because of that, there should be a required mentorship, you know, that we connect you to a mentor when you graduate from, you're a D5 and you go out in your residency or whatever, that you get a mentor assigned to you to help you to make decisions. And I think you should have a mentor assigned to you like on your third year, because maybe you decide, how do you decide? Do I want to be an endodontist, or do I want to be an orthodontist, or do I want to be an oral surgeon? Like, how do they know even how they're going to decide what specialty they're going to go into, right? They have really no thing to kind of support them and guide them in the process. So I think that's the first problem, is that they don't get any education about their business. And then second, this frustrates me so much, but they get out into business and they just think they can do it all. They just think they can do it all. And they have these little walls on their box. And I'm sorry if I'm showing an attitude here, but they have these walls on their box and they have heard it from maybe their dad or their mom who was a dentist before or whatever, but they have these walls on their box and they've got that, I hate to say it, but that know-it-all manager who's sitting in their office that's telling them the way to do things that doesn't really know the way to do things. I don't know, my dad said something to me one time and it really kind of made me mad, but the more I've thought about it, I realize he's right. You know, you can think in your own mind, and any of your listeners, think in your own mind, are you the kind of worker that your standard is to work up here? You know, your standard is to work at this level and the rest of the world works at a standard right here. And you just get frustrated because they're not coming up to your level. You know what I mean? And I think that's a big thing to realize, is that not everybody's going to put in that level of ownership in the practice. And so I think the next wave of what happens is that they just don't know what they don't know. And it's not their fault. They just don't know what they don't know. And they don't have anybody in their little circle there in the office that is trying to figure it out. Right. And so if you don't pay to take your team to continuing education, or you don't invest in your team to get them extra resources to bring in outside ideas, or you don't get real active on certain Facebook groups, Dental Nachos or whoever, right? Get involved, DEW, all the ones that we can do, get involved with some of the groups to realize that there's more out there, right? Because I think the number one thing that's happening in these dental offices is that they don't have trained people doing the things that need to be done. So they're committing fraud. They're maybe struggling with embezzlement. It's totally because they don't know. The embezzlement, the person doing that knows what they're doing. But the potential fraud or the potential wrongdoing that they're doing when they're participating with insurances, I'm just going to give you a statistic, okay? I'm going to tell you some of the things that are happening because, you know, I work with dental insurance and I work with outsourcing dental insurance. So here's a reality check. We are in 2026. It used to be that nobody really got audited. Doctors could just do what they wanted to do and they never really worried. They're never going to catch me in my little town where I live, right? Well, I will tell you that I sat at the Women in DSO conference last summer. So almost a year ago, I sat in the Women in DSO conference and the president of MDON got up and said, we process 5 million claims a day. 5 million claims a day. And you can see there where their problem is, right? They can't employ humans that are going to scrub each one of those claims, right? They just can't. There's no way. At that level, 5 million, that's how many million in a week's time, right? That's so many claims. So they have to employ the use of AI to look at the claims. So when you're talking about that, what AI is going to do is it's going to scrub your whole past for this tax ID. And it's going to look, and it can be this pendulum swing. It could be this smile, right? And if you're right here in the center of that, you better stay right there in the center of that. Because if you ever do anything and it flags you to the left or flags you to the right, you're going to get audited. It's 2026. It's going to happen. You're going to get audited. And so I had Roy Shelburne on my podcast a couple weeks ago, and it's going to air here soon. And I'm so excited. He's a doctor that actually went to federal prison because he did something wrong that he didn't even know he did wrong, right? And that's going to happen to all of our dentists. So those dentists, I would say to those dentists who might be listening to this podcast, you might have done everything and been okay up till now, but I would venture to guess you're not going to be okay past now. You really do have to have help. But let's go back to your question. I can ramble really well. Your question was like about outsourcing and things like that. The reality is these women or these men who are in your office that are doing this work, that this more technical, highly trained work, they literally burn out because they have so much pressure on their shoulders to do all the things that they're doing. And I see it all the time, Brandy. I see it all the time on these Facebook groups. I see doctors going, I'm hiring an office manager and her job is to handle all of the insurance, to handle the treatment coordination, to handle the recall program, the unscheduled treatment program. They're going to be the person at the front desk. They're going to be handling the new patient calls. They're going to be everything. And I'm thinking, and you want one human to do all of that. It's like the jack of all trades and master of none, right? That's the negative connotation to it, but it's the reality check. They do all of that. And if you expect them to, they're going to eventually burn out. And then you lose your team and then you're in that cycle again. So I'm a big, big advocate for outsourcing your insurance because it's highly technical, highly skilled, and the bonus word is the law is involved. So get the stuff that can get you in trouble handled by the specialists who know how to guide you and protect you. And then teach your staff that's in the office, your team, I don't like to say staff because that's like an infection. So team, how to do all the patient forward systems, and you're going to have a much more happy office.
Yeah. You're dropping some truth bombs today, Linda. I love it. I love when you get fired up. Yeah, it's all incredible. And I agree everything you said 1,000%. And I loved even when you got a little spicy about doctors not wanting help and then relying on their team to say, oh, you don't need that. You don't need this. And I've seen that over the years as well, because a lot of times team members don't want to be found out. You know, because they also have their own thing going on. And it's not necessarily that they're stealing or embezzling or anything like that, but they have this system that's like, working for them. And maybe they're, you know, taking some shortcuts or hiding stuff or whatever. I mean, I don't really know, but I do know that anytime you have a team member that's getting in the way of your desire to grow and expand and to develop and having a curiosity of saying like, hey, can we do this a little bit better, more efficiently? That saying, no, we don't need to do that. I think that is like one of the biggest red flags ever. And I'm curious what your take is on that. And I've seen that so often. And right away for me, it's a really big red flag. And I totally agree that you think like doctors can get in this box of, I got this, I don't really need help. And I'm just such an advocate. I mean, I am a coach, so I'm an advocate for coaching, but I also have a team of coaches for myself, right? So I have people that help me in a variety of different areas. And I always joke, it takes a village to keep me, you know, dialed in and walk in the straight line. And I'm not afraid to admit that because I think having coaches and supports and mentors, I have several mentors as well. I mean, it's what makes me so freaking awesome, right? And you too. It's like, yeah. Why not? You know, like, what's the point? Like, I want to like experience a cool life. And I'm a curious George over here. I always want to like be building and creating and generating and producing and giving back and stuff like that. So why not? I think it's super fun. And so many people are afraid to have anyone look under the hood. And there's just so much fear. And I wish people would get that there's really nothing to be afraid of. Yes, you can hire shitty coaches. There's a ton of them out there. There's a ton of shitty consultants. Yes, you're going to make some bad investments, right? Or not ideal investments. And you're going to choose people and things that you didn't get the ROI that you wanted or the results that you hoped for or the support that you were looking for. And that's also part of being a business owner and entrepreneur. Like you and I both, I'm sure, have invested in things. I know for myself, I've invested in things that didn't turn out the way that I hoped or the promises weren't fulfilled on. But it was always moving the needle forward. I always learned from that experience. And it's like getting into a relationship. It's like having one bad relationship. So you're never going to like date or get into a relationship for the rest of your life. Like, I don't know about that, right? So it's like anything else. Like, you got to get in the ring. You're going to have some losses, but you're also going to have some wins. And the idea is that the wins will outweigh the losses. But yeah, I would love to hear your take. What is your feeling if you have a team member that's like, nope, we don't need help. I got this. Like, I can do it all.
So I'll tell you it from two different angles. So number one, you know, we have a huge staffing shortage right now. It's hard to keep good people in your office. It really is. And dentists are being raked over the coals right now because the wages have gone so high, right? Especially with hygienists. Like hygienists just kind of flaunted over them like, hey, you have to pay me a whole bunch because you can't find another one of me. You know what I mean? So it's a little bit hard, right? Like they do have a lot going on. But when you have a situation, I see this all the time when we talk with a doctor and he sees his numbers, he's coding. Diagnosed with me. He knows his numbers. He or she knows what's going on. They know that they've got a lot of aging claims. They know that they've got some systems that are breaking down and they make the decision to bring an outsourced option in. The offices that are so grateful that it's there and choose to work side by side with us, it is a winning recipe. But we oftentimes get offices where the girl or whoever, it's usually a girl at the front desk who's like, oh, we don't need you. We don't need you in here. I can do this by myself. Well, that's not the way we did it. We've always done it like this. And I'm like, well, that's why I'm trying to tell you that maybe you could think about this a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think that's the biggest problem is I think sometimes they don't want to get found. And I'll give you an example of my own life in a dental office, right? I remember this one dental office I worked in and I had moved from one side of the state to another side of the state. And what do? I go find a job at another dental office at that point in my life. And so I was working in this office and they had brought me in because I had consulted in some offices and turned them from nearly bankruptcy to being $3 million in the next year. You know, I had a success story under my belt. So they brought me in and they were like, what can you do with our practice? And so I was helping them and they came to me and they said, hey, Linda, the insurance is kind of stacking up. And I said, oh, that's a problem. Who's doing that? And you. I'm like, oh, I do the insurance. I didn't know I did the insurance. I never made that part of the interview. Well, keep in mind, Brandy, I'd been in dentistry for like 19 years at this point. You know, I knew insurance. I could explain treatment plans. I sent the claims. I did the attachments, but I was never the person that posted the payments. So I sat down and I was like, I'll figure this out. You know, it can't be that hard. So I sat down and I started posting payments. And then I'm reading those EOBs and I'm seeing these reason codes and I'm seeing downgrades and I'm seeing primary and secondaries. And I'm like, I don't know how to do this. But I'm telling you right now, there are people that just do what they think they should and they just do it. And then they cause problems and they create errors. I knew enough that I didn't know what I was doing. So I called one of my really good friends who was one of the first people on my team. And I asked her, I said, will you please come in with me tonight and go through these EOBs with me? Because I don't know what I'm doing, you know? And she said, yeah. So I learned a ton that night. Well, then I got another person on my team who taught me all about the law. And I was like, oh, the law gets involved? You know, like I didn't even know, you know? And I'm like, wow. And so that was like when it just took the roof off of my ability to learn. You know, I just thought there's so many things to learn. And that's when I realized most offices do not have a person that knows what they need to know. I'm going to say 90% of offices out there, that's a high number, but it's a real number. 90% of offices out there do not have a person that knows really what they're doing. They might seem super confident and they might seem like they've got everything in control, but if they haven't attended a webinar or they haven't listened to something so that they know the new changes in the law, they're making mistakes and it's not their fault. They don't know that they don't know. But the reality is they are making mistakes that are going to get you and whoever did the work in trouble. And in trouble, I mean thousands of dollars and potential jail time. Like it's scary. So I really do want to get the message out there. Don't burn out your team. Take good care of your team. I had a doctor once upon a time that called it his golden goose. This is my golden goose and I have to nurture this golden goose, right? So when you take care of your team, I guess what I was going to tell you is that when I was at that office, I was so busy doing 900 things and trying to master this new job of the insurance. I didn't even know there was such a thing as working on outstanding aging claims.
Yeah.
Didn't even know. I just was posting the payments and doing all this other stuff I was doing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know? So then when I realized that, I thought, holy heck, I'm in charge of this and I did this so wrong. And so I've done it myself. I know what it's like to not know what you don't know.
Yeah.
So you got to get help for people.
Yeah. And I think there's like this idea too, you know, like nothing is, I mean, unless you're legitimately doing illegal activity, anytime anyone's coming in to help, you really got to get like, nothing's really wrong, right? So people are coming in to help make things better. And or maybe something does get discovered where you haven't been fulfilling on your job like you thought you were, or they're uncovering all these mistakes or something like that. A couple things can happen. You get forgiven, you get trained, you learn, everybody moves on, you know, that's it. Or you realize you're actually not fit for the job. Perhaps, worst case scenario, you get let go. I guess when you're saying legal stuff, I mean, I suppose you can go to prison. That could be worst case scenario, but it's usually the doctor, right?
That's if you get audited. That's if you get audited.
Yeah. And it's usually like not, the doctors usually want in trouble. But let's just say worst case scenario, you get terminated or you get let go. That's not always a bad thing. You know, if you're not really fit for the role, like you're probably not happy either, right? You're probably stressed to the max. You're probably miserable. There's probably some internal stress going on. And maybe you're just worried about, you know, a change. And sometimes the universe does for you what you can't do for yourself, right? So I always say this too, and this idea, and because you know a bit about my story, you know, I've been to hell and back a few times, and it all ends up finding its way to the truth in the end anyway. And I think if people had more of that level of spiritual connection or trust, and that's why I'm so focused, you know, the people that I work with is the inner work, right? Because when you're spiritually, mentally, emotionally fit, and physically helps too, you know, you navigate life a whole lot easier and you're not just like strong holding onto every little thing with pure fear. And they often say we're motivated by two things. We either are motivated by fear or motivated by love. And I think most people are motivated by fear. And the only way that you can get to being motivated by love, or at least recognize I'm really motivated by fear, let me move more towards love, is doing that inner work. I think that's what's really important. And the only way that you can get there is if you have mentors, if you have guides, if you have coaches, if you take the time to really invest in yourself. And I think you and I are living proof that when you do that kind of work, there's so much peace and life just becomes that much more manageable.
Yeah, 100%. I have gone through things in my life where I've made decisions to go help a certain practice and I get the huge success stories, you know, the grand big change. We do wonderful things and 90% of the team is connected and so fired up. And then there's the one negative one that got figured out in the process who just won't jump on the train, right? I know myself, I've been fired twice from dental offices, like painful, big fires. And it rocked my world. And I remember one day I pulled my comforter out of the dryer. I literally stuck it in the dryer before I went to work, right? I pulled my comforter out of the dryer and I laid on the couch for like 3 days. And my son was like, Mom, you need to like get on LinkedIn and work LinkedIn like it's your full-time job. But so I think that I've learned in my life from decisions and things that have happened to me, those are invitations. Those situations when those hard things and those what we might call bad things happen to us, those are just invitations to say, I am a very spiritual Christian person, and I do believe that is when God is like knocking you on the head and saying, are you going to listen yet? That's literally how I feel like it is for me. Like, you have so much more that I put inside you. Go claim it. You know, that's really how I feel. And so each time that happened, when I could get over my grief and my anger, then I could look at it like there is more inside of me and there is more that I can give, you know? And so each traumatic event led to something better and better. And I would have never known that I would be part of a beautiful, beautiful career now. I would never know that I would be in a position to get my message out and in a position to connect with people. I love to connect with people. I really do. That's my, you know, we talked about our five key strengths, right? And woo is one of my biggest ones, winning others over, but also positivity and empathy. And those things are so important because when you recognize your God-given talents, you can do so many things. And so those are invitations. When those things happen, those are invitations. They're not closed doors slamming in your face. They're invitations to do more.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you've had those experiences and you're living to tell about it. And what you're doing now is just so incredible, right? You're showing it that there was something bigger for you and more to be claimed. And I also believe that all of those stories then lead into who we are today. And it just adds more to your experience and what you're able to share with people and what we're both able to offer because we've lived through those experiences. Well, Linda, I could honestly talk to you all day, and I think that there will be time for us to do that sometime in the near future. You are just like such a special, extraordinary woman, and I'm so glad that our paths have crossed, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of you this year and being more in your orbit, which will be super fun. And I'm really grateful for the work that you're doing, and I know that your doc, who's no longer with us, would be incredibly proud of you and grateful that you're doing the work that you're doing too, and how you represented his practice after his passing, and the care and the love that you poured into it. I'm sure he's incredibly grateful for that. And I'm so grateful for everything that you are and what you continue to be for the industry. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. This isn't something I've done before, just get in and tell my story. And I think I'll start doing it more, but it's hard. It's hard to talk about that. But thank you for giving me the opportunity. It's been fun to be here. Thank you.
You just listened to The Real Talk of Dental. If it hit, if it stung, if it made you feel just a little more human, good. That's the point. This isn't about fixing practices, it's about healing people. And if you're brave enough to show up real in this industry, you're my kind of leader. Subscribe, call in, send your wildest workplace confession. And most importantly, don't clean up for anyone. The mess, that's where the magic lives. We'll see you again on the next episode.